helpful. And I suspect, Annalise, that instead of the new Labour Chancellor asking this person in HMRC what to do next, it'll be you. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce our top tax person from the Labour front bench, Annalise Dodds. Annalise, over to you.
Much. I'm very sorry that I was having to use my phone in the middle of Glyn's very, very stimulating talk, but one thing that can never be digitised, I think, is crashes and looking after children, and there was a bit of a problem getting them out of there, I'm afraid. So anyway, hopefully that's sorted out. I'm really pleased to be here, I thought that Helen and Glyn raised some very important issues, and it's really good to be here under the aegis of CIOT as well, and I've certainly appreciated the fact they offer a lot of very dispassionate, neutral advice to us as policymakers when we're assessing tax proposals. We've had a bit of a discussion around fairness about whether we can really use that term, whether it's appropriate to apply it to this debate or not. I think it can be actually appropriate to look at these questions from a point of view of whether they are fair or not. And certainly as Labour is developing our tax proposals in general, I think we're looking at fairness really from three points of view. First of all, that we need to have a tax system that can actually fund the public services that people need in our country. So we need to have a sufficient tax system, first of all. Secondly, and this is where the party political difference will of course pop up, we need to have a more progressive tax system. And actually the most recent statistics from the ONS, which are actually a bit out of date because they're from 2014-15, but they show that the very best off 10% of people are paying less of their income in tax than the worst off 10% of people, and that can't be right, I think. And I think corporation tax needs to be viewed in that context. Everybody has to make some kind of a fair contribution to the services that we benefit from, and that applies to business as well, which does benefit from services provided by government, of course. It benefits from infrastructure, it benefits from hopefully a skilled population, it benefits from the preservation of community safety and security. But a third element of fairness, as well as having that progressivity, as well as tax being sufficient in terms of the funds that it raised, is I think that tax does need to be transparent, and I really appreciate the work the IFS and CIOT have been doing on defining how you can have transparency, predictability and stability. And certainly we're trying as a Treasury team to develop our shadow Treasury team to develop our tax plans very openly in conjunction with a range of different stakeholders. Generally there does seem to be quite a lot of support for particularly a more progressive tax system and dealing with loopholes where they exist in the international tax system. And there was an interesting poll by it's commissioned by the IPPR, it's done by Sky recently, which showed a lot of support for many of Labour's economic proposals, including our tax proposals, as well as other proposals put forward by the IPPR in their economic justice review. Now, I think, I mean, we've had quite an interesting discussion already about whether corporation tax really is the appropriate tax now, given the nature of business and particularly of digital business. And there are some, and I thought we may get into this later, but there's some people who say, well, this means you just can't have corporation tax anymore. There's a few academics who say, ultimately, we should not have any corporate tax because it's becoming increasingly difficult to collect. Yes, it is becoming more difficult to collect, but actually, I think this is a logistical issue rather than, I would say, a reason for completely removing corporation tax. And also, we have to bear in mind that the kind of digitisation that causes problems for taxation also creates opportunities because it enables much greater communication within tax authorities and across different tax authorities as well. And we're seeing now much more information sharing between countries about the companies operating within them. In that connection, I would say that we cannot separate from this debate the need for HMRC to be appropriately resourced when it comes to tax collection. And I've been doing perhaps not the most glamorous tour that a politician has ever done, but I've visited 10 tax offices that have either already closed or are due to be closed due to the restructuring of HMRC. And we have a big bump, really, of people who are highly skilled within HMRC who are leaving their jobs because of the restructuring process. New people coming in who don't have that expertise, and that's needed even more when it comes to these complex areas, especially around profit shifting. Now, there are areas, I think, of legislative innovation that are important here. We've set out a number of different proposals within our tax transparency and enforcement programme, which is on the Labour website. A whole different variety of measures. Some of them are around having greater scrutiny, so around, for example, advanced thin capitalisation agreements, which are intended to give greater predictability to taxation, the same with tax agreements as well, but which often haven't been as open as they should have been. We would argue to the public and generally, given the negative impact that they seem to have had on tax that's collected, unfortunately. We also want to clamp down more on false incorporation. That's a big problem. We want large companies' tax returns to be publicly filed. We think that information should be available and that there should be full public country-by-country reporting for multinationals. And actually, this is not necessarily radical. This is what is already being done by many of the most successful companies. And we think it's necessary to apply that transparency everywhere, but we're not being hypocritical because we think MPs should have to publish their tax returns too. So this is something we think should apply across the board. But we also do need to talk about rates. We haven't really gone into that so much in our discussion so far. But we have to acknowledge that there has been a change, and I'm not saying the UK is the only country where this has happened, but the amount of the overall tax take which is coming from corporations has decreased over time in the UK. It will have dropped by about a third up to 2020-21. And at the same time, the rate has gone down. It's gone down from, of course, 30% for corporate tax in 2006, 19%, and then it will be 17%. Of course, Theresa May has said, right, we've got to have it down to the bottom of the G20, and Trump has said that he's going to be lowering his even further. Whether Theresa May was aware that he was going to say that or not, I don't know, but anyway, we seem to be locked into this development now. And through those rate cuts, we have not seen the additional investment that we were told was going to arise. In fact, we've seen a lower rate of growth of private investment in the UK than in most comparable countries. Now, we think that we need to tackle this. We think that we do need to shift corporation tax rates back up to some of where they were before, not right back to where they were, but back to 26% eventually, and reintroduce the small business rate to 21%. But at the same time, we think we need to try and do more to rebalance this situation that bricks and mortar companies find it a lot harder to compete. And of course, Glyn talked about this. Business rates now much more significant for particularly companies in high value areas. There's been a lot of confusion around revaluation there. We want to have a proper review of those business rates because they do seem to be penalising bricks and mortar companies. And I have to say, generally, I really don't think that digitisation provides an argument for reductions in rates. Actually, I think it pushes in the opposite direction. I've quite often heard companies say, large tech companies, well, we pay all the tax that we're asked to pay. We pay all of it. And then they'll quote a figure that appears to be a huge figure. But actually, a lot of times, what they're talking about is the national insurance that their staff pay and the tax that their staff pay, as well as them as employers. But many of their staff are on relatively low incomes. They then also will, in some cases, and which is perfectly legal, but they will divert profits into shareholdings for staff. We've seen that occurring recently with Facebook, more recently with Amazon as well, and obviously we all know about the kinds of contradictions that seems to create, that in Amazon's case, Amazon Services UK profits almost tripled last year, but the corporation tax that it pays currently has fallen by three quarters. And actually, I think that this is going to become more of a problem as we have more robotisation and automation, because the headcounts of these companies will be reducing, so they won't be paying as much tax through their workforce as they are now. Now, of course, at the same time, exactly as has been mentioned by both Helen and Glyn, it does become harder to identify the locus of profit making. And clearly the government, as Glyn mentioned, it has tried to open up a bit of a conversation around this. But I think that actually we still seem to be in quite a muddy mess around this, and I would argue at least part of that is because we've not been clear enough as a country about whether we're going to collaborate with international developments or not. It's not clear in particular whether the government, to me anyway, whether the government favours collaboration with the approach that's being pushed forward at EU level by President Macron, which does include an element of revenue-based taxation, so more of a focus on consumption. And actually, we have been moving more towards a variant of that model, I would say, when it comes to, without getting too technical, the application of VAT to digital services, where now you have that being based on where the consumer is rather than on where the seller is, because we had so much distortion with companies being based in very low tax jurisdictions, but the vast majority of their activity occurring elsewhere. So that change has already happened. We could say that also we have some elements of this, maybe to an extent, with the diverted profits tax, at least we're moving in that direction. But ultimately, unilateral approaches to this are going to be much less effective than joint action across nations. And on the side, I very much agree with Helen, yes, shifting to a different approach is going to have winners and losers. But I often think an interesting way to look at this is to think about efficiency. So, we all know about a kind of theory of comparative advantage. So countries will trade and they will become successful on the basis of what their factor endowment is. So, you know, how good quality and how much capital they have, how skilled a population they have, what their raw materials are. When you have competition between nations purely on the basis of, largely on the basis of taxation, as I would say arguably applies in some of the smallest jurisdictions, that's not an efficient system, actually, because it's not based on sustainable factors in that case. It's purely based on the artificial factor of the tax rate. And that doesn't seem to be something that surely is sensible in the long run for the strength of our economies globally. I think there are other problems as well with where we are right now when it comes particularly to the arm's length principle that was discussed, where you try and envisage that you have, rather than one big company doing lots and lots of different things, instead what the relationship would be between parts of that company if they were separate. Now, actually, I think the EU Competition Commissioner has been doing quite a good job to try and parse out some of that and how that applies to tax affairs. I think she did a very good job with Starbucks, for example, where she pointed out that it's pretty silly to say that the Netherlands generates a vast amount of the value and profit for Starbucks, because that happens to be where the intellectual property for the roasting process is based. And obviously, because of that, there was a huge case. And then there was a reallocation of that taxation that wasn't collected. I think she did a good job there, but it's not clear where we're going in that area into the future, as with so many aspects, of course, of Britain's relationship with the rest of the EU post-Brexit. But it's not clear if we'll be able to use competition law in a coordinated way to try and deal with these problems into the future. And I think we have actually lost quite a lot of trust when it comes to these matters and when it comes to working collaboratively, because of the view of Britain now as trying to undercut other nations' corporation tax rates. Under Labour, we would have a different approach. And in fact, we've already started that approach. So Jeremy Corbyn attended a summit with other socialists and social democrats from across Europe, which was explicitly around trying to stop a race to the bottom, trying to collaborate on these issues and abandon the race to the bottom. We've also looked to try and prevent leakage. And I agree that we've had some positive developments, absolutely, but the UK could still do so much more in relation to our overseas territories and crown dependencies than we do at the moment. We've managed to get some successes around that in Parliament, but we will certainly keep pushing. Because actually, when it comes to the Cayman Islands, interestingly, the Cayman Islands are home to many companies which own a lot of our countryside and property in the UK. So this is not something that doesn't affect the UK. You're absolutely right. It affects a lot of American companies as well. But it would, I think, have a positive impact on the UK too. But I just want to end this by saying that this isn't just about corporates, it is about individuals. I think Helen was absolutely right to say we do need to look at these issues in the round. Now, there are some countries, like Estonia, for example, where there is no corporation tax, but there is quite a lot of taxation on dividends. So that the kind of wealth, I suppose, that eventually that is generated from profit is taxed somewhere. Because of that, the fact that there isn't a corporation tax means that, you know, it's not had a significant impact on inequality in Estonia. But actually, when we look at our personal taxation system in the UK, that's not going to be soaking up any of this, because we've got some of the lowest rates for the best of people in the UK in the rest of Europe. So we need to bear that in mind when we're talking about this. And of course, Labour has plans to tilt up income tax for the best of 5% of earners. That's a progressive measure that has got widespread public support. And we need to think about taxation in the round here, because if we don't have corporation tax receipts that are stable, if they continue to fall, then either we'll see a reduction in public services or increases in tax elsewhere. And in Ireland, I think it's quite interesting that while taxes have plummeted for profitable multinationals, ordinary people have actually seen quite steep tax increases. That can't be fair, and it seems to be the product, I would say, of ideology really rather than practical necessity. So we do need to stop, I think, that race to the bottom, and we're focused on trying to do that in government.
Thank you, Annalise. We've now got about 15 minutes for questions and comments. I'll take them three at a time. I'd ask you to be brief so as many people as possible can get in. I would warn you that this is being recorded, so don't say anything that you'd rather not be found out later. And I will certainly invite the panellists to come back, either on a very specific question immediately or more generally towards the end. So we'll make sure we have good gender balance. So we'll start with the lady there and then the gentleman behind her and then the gentleman in the pink shirt over there. So could you give your name and where you're from? That,
yes.
That would be of interest.
Carol Wilcox, Labour Land Campaign. I'd like to draw attention to the business rates, which I know is a huge problem. The Labour Land Campaign has got issued out here recently.
Can everyone hear? Are you okay? Can you all hear at the back there? I'm not sure whether the microphone's working, actually.
It's on. It might be quite close. It's not.
Okay, can you hear me?
Are you okay at the back? Yeah, okay. Sorry, okay. Start again.
Okay, so we campaign to replace for a land value tax on all land, actually. But it's a no-brainer for business, because business rates are actually based not just on the land, it's actually the building, and that's the working capital of a business. And this is why shops are in such a terrible state on the high street. So it's a no-brainer, and I know that it will be Labour Party policy, because John McDonnell is a member of that campaign.
Right, behind you. Yep, right behind you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Rob Fitzgerald, local boy, West Derby, constituency of the Labour Party. I'd like to sort of touch on two things, really. You mentioned sort of the biggest corporates always sort of posting losses and what have you. Well, that kind of sort of feeds into sort of, I suppose, sort of HMRC in terms of getting sort of resources for HMRC to look at these figures. And one's like sort of the classic sort of digital claims are research and development. Obviously, people think, well, yeah, you know, in the digital world, you are looking at sort of the next level, the next step. But look closely enough and you find it's like sort of that, you know, rather than sort of spending sort of X millions, like some research in some laboratory, they're just having sort of away days and some, you know, it's like sort of a plush retreat in the Caribbean. So I think sort of in a case, like, so it's, and another sort of thing on top of that is like sort of kind of the reliefs that we've got, the business reliefs. If these businesses are doing so well, do they actually need sort of incentives when, you know, sort of the path is clear for them as well?
Okay, thank you. Towards the back there, gentleman in the pink shirt.
Ask Shivani, I'm on this ICLP. As Helen said, the most complex area for collecting corporation taxes from the international companies, that there are no different restrictions. That's the key. Wouldn't it be better, make it simple, bring revenue tax on those organizations and keep it as is for the corporation taxes organizations that are actually in the United Kingdom or within the European Union, and also having a harmonized tax system under the European Union. So that makes it simple and does not cause any issues for businesses within the United Kingdom.
Okay, thank you. So those were more comments than questions. I think I'll take another three. So lady in the front, lady behind her, gentleman to the left. My left.
I'm not going to make this sense, because I have great difficulty understanding all of this. But
could you give your name, please?
Sorry, Nova Bradley, Whitney constituency, Labour Party member. My understanding in the build-up to tax credits happening, and I don't know what relevance it is to this, but so that's my question. But my in the build-up to it, and when, of course, Gordon Brown started tax credits, was that it was going to be somewhat much more expansive than it ended up being, so that there was going to be massive tax, we could say, on various things, but then complemented by massive tax credits to individuals, but also possibly to smaller businesses, all sorts of things, you know, the charity stuff where they don't pay taxes and all that sort of thing. And that it was going to be a global system. I don't know. The question is that a route that could be a possibility of completely changing the way in which tax works?
Okay, thank you for that. Right behind you, the white shirt there.
Hi, Alanson, New Breeze LP. Glenn, I think it was you that said that the mere collection of data does not mean that user value is being generated, but with the phenomenon now of big data, the companies that have masses that are able to analyse and use it to create more profit for themselves. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little more on why you think that is, and also what the panel thinks about obviously the phenomenon of big data and the kind of merging now of competition and tax law.
Okay, and comrade here.
Martin Garfelder from Manchester Gorton. Could the panel say a bit about the balance of of different kinds of taxes? Because we've talked mostly about corporation tax. We haven't really said much about national insurance contributions, which are still really pretty primitive, as far as I can see. We haven't said anything about VAT. We haven't said much about business rates, and I agree with my friend there that business rates could be done a lot better than they are. They seem very weird to me. But I'm not sure that I understand all of this and how it fits together. And one of the points I'd like to make is that the Labour Party never seems to talk about this. This is my 19th conference, I don't think I've ever been to a discussion about taxation.
Well done, CIOT, that's great. Yeah. Let's hear it for CIOT. So I'll take a break now in questions and comments, have the panel go in reverse order, pick up anything that you want. I thought particularly, Annalise, you might want to pick up the tax credit sort of story and the Gordon Brown aspect of that. And then, Glyn, I think there's a question there that you might want to address. And then, Helen, any aspect that you want to talk about. Then that'll still give us time for another couple of rounds or so of questions. So, Annalise, next.
Yeah, I might put together Nova's point with Rob's, actually, because I think they are relevant. So one thing that I've increasingly noticed is that very, very often the tax system now is being used by government to deliver different public policy outcomes without really a consideration of whether it's the right mechanism to do that. Now, actually, you know, tax credits lifted a lot of people out of poverty, particularly children. They had a really significant impact. But we're seeing now, for example, claims that having a tax relief on people's incomes, so the shift up in the personal allowance, that on its own is pulling people out of poverty. Well, actually, it's totally counteracted for just about everybody who's living in poverty by changes to Social Security. And if we looked at government spending and foregone spending in terms of relief in the round, we'd see what was happening to real people, which is that they're getting poorer. So we need to have much more of a focus on reliefs, I think, generally, thinking about whether they're appropriately targeted. Obviously, Rob talked about this. Now, many of them may well be, but they're not analysed through the same process as spending requests. So, you know, they very infrequently are subject to proper discussion and debate in Parliament. They very infrequently are assessed in terms of whether they deliver the intended public policy outcomes. And certainly we've committed to having a proper review of reliefs if we're elected, and I think that's really important and it needs to happen. Just really quickly on a couple of the other points, around, you know, would it be possible to have like different tax systems essentially for multinationals compared to domestic companies? It's quite interesting, at EU level, they've been talking for quite a long time about a shift to what's called a formula-based system, where you have a dollop of the tax paid coming from revenue, a dollop from profit, potentially a dollop from headcount. You know, there's different variants of it. The EU's been discussing or arguing, whatever way you want to look at it, about what the proportion should be between the different elements, right? But some suggested, well, this should be just applied to certain categories of multinationals initially, that would be a good way to start it off. Then you could apply it across the board. Of course, the problem then can be, well, you've then got like parallel tax systems operating at the same time. This makes it really, really complicated. What I have found frustrating is that, you know, we've had that discussion. We're now having the discussion about the Macron proposals as well, at EU level. And it is very unclear what the UK's view is on any of this. You know, we've engaged with the OECD's process, which is tightened up some of the competition by the back door, I suppose, some of the fiddling really and loopholes, but we're not really talking about the real fundamental building blocks of the tax system, which I think we need to do. Just on that issue about the balance between different kinds of taxes, I have to say I've been to a heck of a lot of different meetings about tax, but it is good, it's getting a higher profile now, and I think we've really got to ensure that people have a much better understanding of the taxation system. I mean, budgets, really, government budgets should be about talking about, I think, where revenue comes from. You look at recent speeches, and I'm sorry, so Helen in particular has heard me banging on about this loads of times, but you look at recent speeches, they're all about the rabbit that's going to be pulled out of the hat, right? Which 5 minutes later turns out to, you know, be a bit of a mess, to be honest, because they've not consulted properly. I mean, it's all not really how we should do this. We should look at how the shares of different taxes have changed over time, and you see in the UK that you've had more of a focus on consumption. Obviously, that's happened right across the EU because of the VAT requirements. You've seen a shift away from corporation tax, and you've seen a shift down in the tax paid by the very best off people when it comes to personal income tax. And just very, very finally, when it comes to the need to bring in competition policy to talking about all these issues, absolutely, I think that is so important, and I very much agree with what Glyn said, that very often we're talking about monopolies being created. That then, I think, raises issues around competition that need to be looked at, and just the tax system is not going to be able to deal with that on its own.
Thank you, Annalise. Just quickly from Glyn and Helen, then we can fit one more round in, if okay. You keep it short.
So on the data question, I think actually the quote comes from HM Treasury rather than myself. But it's really quite narrowly focused on where the value should be taxed rather than on, yes, big data is crucial and critical to a lot of these business models. But the question is, where is the value created? Is it at the point of collection or is it at the point of analysis? And I think most tech companies think it's more at the point of analysis. A friend of mine who works for a cybersecurity company said the trouble with the internet is there's a vast number of pictures of cats and a tiny, tiny, tiny amounts of valuable data, which in their business is mostly created by criminals. whether you'd actually want to tax that data where it's created, I'm not sure. So that it's very limited, that quote, to where you value the data.
Thanks the cats.
Helen, yeah.
Thanks the cats.
Helen. Okay, very quickly. Obviously, I'll speak up on. So one thing, I guess, to Martin's point, we do raise about 2/3 of our revenue from the three big taxes, from income tax, NICS, and VAT. So obviously, it's worth bearing in mind that they're important parts of the system. We have a progressive system overall. We do take more from the top and give more to the bottom. But we do that as a large part for the benefit system. So we shouldn't just think about tax. We should think about tax and benefits all together. And we should get the right tool for the job. So if you want to think about rich people, we should think much more about dividends and capital gains, for example, rather than just thinking about indirect ways. And the last thing I'll say on the kind of European Union harmonisation, I think everyone agrees that if we get collaboration, that's kind of the best case. The problem we've had within Europe is that people don't agree, and it's not just that the UK and the Ireland are holding things up. The biggest, if you talk to OECD people, the biggest agreement is between France and Germany. They fundamentally disagree on how to go with corporation tax and on kind of the path to take for digital. So this kind of a, this is the winners and losers point, because whenever you change a system, you have big winners and losers. That's kind of stopping collaboration. So we need a mechanism politically, I think, to get over some of that, kind of get over that and say, but it is better, it's more efficient overall, so let's make a way, find a way to do it. But that's hard.
Thanks, Helen. Are you able to stay a few more minutes, Annalise, or do you have to go get your
light put on? I probably need to get it. It's not like
All right, in that case, shall we draw it to a close and just stay around and mingle and network? On your behalf, can I thank all of our speakers? They've done a fantastic job. Thank you to the organisers. The food was great. And it's good to have a tax session, Martin.
Yes.
This conference, and let's repeat it, future conference. Yes. Thank you all.
Not
all right, so
the dress tree land tax problem.